Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, January 22nd, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Aaron Filipek from Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Filipek.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study God's Word this morning. Tell us about Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas.
Zion Lutheran Church is a little over 128 years, and they have been here that time in a town of about 19,000 or so, surrounded by a bunch of Mennonites. We are the only Lutheran church in town, and we have a preschool for ages 3 through 5. I've been here for about 5 years, and it's about, I'd say, a 25-mile drive north of Wichita, Kansas. So a lot of exciting things happening in Newton.
Very good. Glad that you are there in Newton, Kansas, delivering God's good word. Speaking of God's good word, today we are studying Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 24. What would you like for us to know about this text, if anything, before we dig in?
Probably that this is a continuation from chapters 9 and 10, and so Paul's continuing on as far as Israel rejecting God and it not being God's fault, but yet God hasn't given up on his people, and it is that even Jews and Gentiles are saved by Christ in faith, and so that will kind of lead us up into chapter 11. So this is really a continuation from chapters 9 and 10, and so to get the context leading up to chapter 11, should really have 9 and 10 in mind.
All right, very good. We're in Romans chapter 11 today, verses 1 through 24. We're studying with Pastor Aaron Filipek from Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're digging into Romans chapter 11. Here we go. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Verse 1, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Has God rejected his people, the Israelites, Pastor?
As Paul says, by no means. And actually, in verse 1, when you get the I ask then, the then we should probably fill in with the chapter 10. But if you look at verse 21 of chapter 10, but of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. I remember reading a commentary by an early church father, and this is kind of fun imagery, is that he said, if you stretch out your hands, God stretched out hands, it looks like a cross, in which we are to think of Jesus. So God has not rejected his people, by no means. Instead, God has loved his people in Christ. And I think the example that we get is Paul is saying, look at myself as an Israelite. And Paul is, he persecuted Christians, and God brought him to faith. And so Paul is saying, look at myself. I'm an Israelite, and God hasn't rejected his people.
God has not rejected his people, verse 2, whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, but they seek my life. So God foreknew, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. What does this mean, whom he foreknew? Simply the Israelites, Israel, whom he had chosen?
God's foreknowledge. Certainly God knows everything that's going to happen, even before the foundation of the world, but this doesn't mean he has caused it. And so when you look at rejection, it's not God's fault that Israel doesn't believe. It's Israel's fault. And so this is what Paul has kind of been building on. And so God hasn't rejected his people. He foreknew, and these are his people, and he's been patient with them. But they've been the ones who've gone other ways and disobeyed God and didn't believe and chased after other gods. And it's as they bring up Elijah here, Elijah once thought, you know, am I the only one left? And God reminds him that certainly not. I've had a remnant, and I think it was 7,000 left in Israel. And so Elijah wasn't alone, and just as Paul is saying, he's not alone, for God foreknew this. But when it comes to election, if you're going to point fingers at why people don't believe, you got to look at their own fault and not blame God for it. And so Israel needs to really look at themselves and point the finger at themselves, saying they've been the ones who've been disobedient.
Hmm. But what is God's reply to him? What is God's reply to what Elijah says? I have kept for myself the 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. God says, I've kept a remnant. I've 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and notice it's by grace. And so even if it seems slim, God hasn't rejected Israel again, for there's a few. There are 7,000 who's a remnant, and this is not of Israel. You can't claim just because I'm an Israelite, I'm good to go. Paul reminds us that it's by grace, and so it is even with Jew and Gentile alike. The remnant remains there because of God's graciousness, and certainly God didn't reject Israel, but they rejected, but not all of them, for there's a remnant left, 7,000 and men. And what Paul was saying earlier is, so that was Elijah's time, but now look at this time. I'm left. Paul's the remnant, and there's some others in the church, and it's all by grace. And you can't look at works. You can't say, well, I've just been born into this. I'm a good Israelite, and I'm good to go. God is gracious, and it is all by his grace. And if it was by works, if it was because of Israel, if it was something they did or just by who they were on the basis of their works, well, then grace really ceases to be grace. But God, as going even back to 21 of chapter 10, he is graceful, and he holds out his hands, always welcoming, and God's word goes forth. That's the thing to keep in mind, too, is that God's word doesn't fail. And God's word is there for Paul and for the remnant and for even Gentiles.
Verse 7, what then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. So Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. What was Israel seeking?
I think Israel was seeking several things, reminded throughout the Old Testament. At times they wanted a king who would give them what they wanted. They wanted to be like other nations. And have other gods, and so they got involved in other gods. They wanted God to deliver them, and they wanted the Messiah, but they kind of missed Jesus, and so it is that they're still waiting for this, and some are rejecting God because they're not looking to Jesus. And so as they're hardened, when it comes to hardening of hearts, God will say, well, if you don't believe, I'll let you not believe, if you will. Yeah, but the elect, anytime you talk about election, you look to Christ, and it is in Christ that we know that we are elect, and it's a tangible thing. So going back to grace and going back to election, the remnant, it is by grace, and you look to Christ, and you look to these things. But Israel was seeking something else, looking just to the fact that they were Abraham's descendants or their heritage and other things. And so as they were disobedient, as they went in other ways, not trusting God. I mean, he let them he gave them over to that. And but the elect, they've obtained it by grace in Christ, and God's word has not failed.
God gave them, the elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see, ears that would not hear, down to this very day. Why would they be hardened? Why would God give them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear?
I think part of those who refuse to listen to God's word, God would let them reject him, if you will, and that's kind of what God is saying. This is a judgment against those, against Israel, who would not believe. And so, as they've rejected God's law, as they've rejected the Messiah, as they've rejected God himself, God will let them continue in their hardening. For God doesn't, I mean, he doesn't make little puppets or robots. But if you don't believe in God, he'll let you not believe in him. If you believe in him, it is all by his grace. And so with Israel, the fact that they were hardened, it was they were caught in this idea of they were Israel by tradition, so of course they're saved, as opposed to looking to God's grace. And so they've rejected his word.
David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and bend their backs forever. Your thoughts here, Pastor?
Just the thought that, you know, as this is kind of picking up on the psalmist's words, it just kind of prefigures this idea of Christ and what Christ would do. And so here it is, unbelieving Israel, but God would take out his vindication upon his suffering servant, Jesus, and he would bring judgment to even all his enemies, even to unbelievers alike. And so this is kind of looking ahead to Christ.
Looking over this up through verse 10 today, before we go on to the next section, anything else, verses 1 through 10, before we take a look at the next section?
I think the thing to keep in mind, as Paul seems to be talking about Israel here, again, that just to summarize and reiterate that Israel is the one who's rejected God. God doesn't reject him. And now Paul's going to switch gears here kind of in 11 and talk to the Gentiles in the Roman church, and he's going to say, well, don't get too arrogant either, and as we head that way. So Paul's talking to Israel, and now he's going to have a word for the Gentiles coming up.
Very good. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Aaron Filipek from Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas. We're in Romans chapter 11 today, verses 1 through 24. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email. The phone number's 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, KFUO@KFUO.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying Romans chapter 11 today. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
This is the newborn radio station, KFUO.
Those were the first words spoken on KFUO. But before those words could even be broadcast, it took a group of volunteers and supporters to cover the cost of constructing our very first radio facility.
On this occasion, we also wish to express our hearty thanks to all Christians who have given or pledged their contributions toward the erection and upkeep of this station.
Since those historic words, KFUO has relied on supporters to bring us through our first 90 years. And KFUO continues to need your support to move forward into our next. Will you prayerfully consider supporting the worldwide outreach of KFUO with a gift today? For a suggested gift of $90 or more, we'll say thank you with a collector's edition 90th anniversary I Lutheran t-shirt. To give your gift, contact Joni or Mary at 314-996-1512. Thank you for your continued support and prayers for worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Aaron Filipek from Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas. We're in Romans chapter 11, and time to pick up around verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? So, verse 11, so I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Pastor?
Yeah, I think the question, what Paul is saying is Israel so far gone? Have they stumbled so much to the point that they're forever lost? And this is where Paul picks up and says, well, no, but not by any means, by no means. And so going back to even God's grace, God is still there for these people. And so hope is not lost. They are not forever lost. But through their sin and their rebellion, good news has come to the Gentiles as well. And so it is, I think, the thing to keep in mind as we go forward with Romans 11 is that, whether Jew or Gentile, I mean, this goes back to kind of the chapter 1 in Romans, is God's grace and salvation in Christ is for Jew and Gentile, and it comes by faith in Christ. And so it is that faith has come and salvation has come to the Gentiles, and Israel's a little jealous because of what their history is and what the promise was to them. It is God's plan that Gentiles were saved as well, but now, in the midst of this, by faith in Christ, the Gentiles are saved as well.
Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean?
Yeah, this is, I think, God died for the, Jesus died for the sake of the whole world, and blessings are upon the whole world. And yet those who would believe it, those who have faith in Christ, will be saved. And so it is that with the Gentiles, they have riches, and this doesn't mean that it's just Jews or just Israel. It's all who would believe in faith in Christ is now those who are saved.
Verse 13, now I am speaking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. So now, speaking to the Gentiles, as an apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah, and this is Paul's kind of special calling, and so there's, I assume there's many Gentiles in the Roman congregation at this point, probably a big majority, and so Paul speaks to them, and notice that earlier in 11, Paul said, hey, look at, I am myself an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham. But now, inasmuch then as I am apostle to the Gentiles, Paul's coming to the Gentiles saying that, hey, Christ has died for you too, and his ministry is this, proclaiming Christ to the Gentiles, but it makes the Jews jealous, and that's not a bad thing. For the Jews being jealous, it's not a bad thing in the sense that they can stop looking to themselves for salvation, and the message is the same from God, and Paul's preaching is the same, Christ crucified to the Gentiles, but also the Jew. So if it irritates the Jews a little bit, that's okay. And what Paul is saying, hey Jews, hey Israel, look to Christ, this is where all of us should be looking for, and this is where all of us are saved only by Christ.
For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead?
Yeah, could you imagine if Israel actually believed? And so even though they've kind of rejected the Messiah, God has even brought them reconciliation in Christ. I'm not just Israel, but I'm reminded of the verse that says, well, we were still enemies of God. Jesus died for us. And you get this idea that, again, going back to Paul's theme, God is not rejecting his people. Instead, he's dying for them, and he's rising for them, and he's forgiving them. And it is theirs and being reconciled. I mean, the whole world, Jew, Gentile alike, all being reconciled in Christ.
And now a food reference and an agricultural reference, some of my favorite. I always like food, so.
Yeah. who doesn't?
If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. If the root is holy, so are the branches.
Yeah, is this idea that, you know, Israel, this first fruits is holy because Israel is God's people. Even though they've rejected him, they still are God's people, and so he is gracious in choosing his people that will also bring in others. And so when we talk about Israel being God's people, as you know, now Israel are those included who believe. So it is Israel by faith, the church, all of us who are baptized into Christ, and this dough, you know, it doesn't just stay there as a lump, but it continues to spread, if you will.
But if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through the faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God's severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? So here we have some arboriculture references. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches.
Yeah, before we headed into verse 11, if you remember me saying that, again, God was going to, or Paul was going to switch gears and address the Gentiles now, and so it is that some of Israel, because of their unbelief and the rejection of God, the branches were broken off, but these wild olive shoots, these Gentiles, I mean, they've been grafted in by God's grace, but the warning is don't get arrogant thinking now that God has rejected Israel to the point where he no longer loves them or saves them, and now the Gentiles are the only ones. Don't think the Gentiles replace the Israelites. Instead, remember that it is you're supported by the root, and God's grace supports you too. So don't get arrogant now as Gentiles, saying, well, Israel's gone, they had their chance, and here we are. So it's kind of a warning against the Gentiles now.
To not be arrogant. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you.
Yeah, right. And this is where, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is where I think to keep in mind, too, is, I mean, really, all of Romans kind of leads to this, is his faith in Christ that keeps you in this branches, if you will. And so it is faith in Christ. So don't look to Israel saying, oh, I can look to my history, or I was born into this, or anything like that. And Gentiles, don't be arrogant and saying, well, look at us, we're pretty special. God, you know, we're better than you know, Israel. No, God loves all. And how do you know this? In Christ. And those who would receive him in faith, well, they are the ones who are grafted in, Jew and Gentile alike.
And then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear.
Right. And so it is that, I mean, maybe a way of saying this kind of nowadays, if we use the expression, we're brothers and sisters in Christ as believers, I think it could be said that now, hey, Gentiles, these are your brothers and your sisters here. these Israelites who still believe this remnant, and hey, Israel, these are your brothers and sisters in the faith. And so don't get proud, don't get arrogant, don't get jealous, for God has shown grace to all of you, and none of you deserve it, but this is how gracious God is in Christ.
For God, if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off.
You know, the Lord's word is both that of law, of judgment, the sinner must die, and that of gospel, that he has saved the sinner. So, notice if you are an unbeliever, if you reject God, again he will let you do that, and your heart will be hardened, and he'll leave you to that, and that is a judgment. At the same time, God is kindness, and he provides this to you. And as we look to God's kindness, we look to the cross, and it is all his work, and he initiates this even. And so there is a law and a gospel there that, you know, fine, there is severity for those who have fallen, for those who have unbelieved, for those who have disobeyed God. His law will shine forth, and it is a rejection. But for those who would believe, God shows kindness and grace and mercy.
And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree?
Yeah, this is a great reminder for the Gentiles, saying, hey, who are you to boast? Don't think you're greater, because notice, you were the wild branch, you were the wild one, but yet God has grafted you in. So how much more for his people that he loves, Israel, how much more will he graft them in as well to their own olive tree? And so it's both Jew and Gentile alike, and it's all by the grace of God, initiated by him, and we all look and live by God's grace.
So even those natural branches, if they believe, you know, they can be grafted back into their own tree, their own olive tree.
Yeah, it's kind of like for ourselves, it's when we sin and we repent and receive God's forgiveness. It's, as Luther says, it's daily returning to our baptism over and over. And it doesn't mean baptism didn't work, but we've been brought back in yet again. And so our Lord is slow to anger, but he abounds in steadfast love so much that his patience is beyond any of our patience, and comprehensible, more than we can comprehend. And so he's very patient with Israel, and he's very patient even with the Gentiles, and even he'll hold out his hands even to disobedient and contrary people, for God still came for them.
Let's look at the text as a whole today, Pastor.
Sure.
What would you like for us to learn from this text as a whole, from Romans chapter 11?
I think the thing to keep in mind, again, is whether it's Jew or Gentile, or whoever you are, whether you've even walked away from the Christian faith, whether you're an unbeliever or whether you believe, don't get arrogant and don't look to yourself, either your traditions or anything that you believe. Instead, look to Christ, because only in Christ do we know that God loves us, and only in Christ and in faith in Christ are we saved. So it's not anything we do. And so if we've rejected and walked away from the church or even Christ, God is still there with loving arms to bring us back into the fold. And if there's unbelievers out there, you know, God has gifts and good news for you in Christ. And if you are a Gentile and still keeping in this church, God continues to sustain you, and this is all by his grace. So my encouragement would be, go to receive the gifts of God where we know he's electing us in baptism and the preaching of the word and the Lord's Supper and the forgiveness of sins. And faith is up, you know, it's not up to you. It's a work of Christ. And so these gifts are for us, lest none of us boast.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Aaron Filipek from Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas. Pastor Filipek, thanks so much for being our guest today, helping us study God's Word.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you and all the saints there at Zion Lutheran Church in Newton, Kansas. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help sanctify your morning. And during the 9 o'clock hour, we'll join together for morning prayer. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO.